Part 2 Chapter 19 Margarita. The master was mistaken when, at the hour that night rolled over midnight, he bitterly told Ivan at the hospital that she had forgotten him. She had certainly not forgotten him. Firstly, let us reveal the secret that the master chose not to reveal to Ivan. The name of his beloved was Margarita Nikolaevna. Childless, the 30-year-old Margarita was married to a prominent scientist. Her husband was young, handsome, kind, honest, and adored his wife. Margarita Nikolaevna and her husband occupied the entire top floor of a wonderful mansion, situated in a garden on one of the side streets near the Arbat. Margarita Nikolaevna had no want of money. Among her husband's friends were some very interesting people. Margarita Nikolaevna did not know the horrors of living in a communal apartment. In other words, she was happy? Not for a single moment. From the day when, at age 19, she got married and moved into the house, she knew no happiness. What did this woman need? I know not. Evidently she spoke the truth when she said she needed the master. Not the Gothic mansion, or the private garden, or the money. She loved him. She spoke the truth. Even the heart of this truthful narrator, a complete stranger, twinges at the thought of what Margarita had to endure when she came to the master's house the following day. Fortunately, before she could talk to her husband, who had not returned in time, and discovered that the master was gone. She did everything she could to find out what happened to him, and of course found out nothing. Yes, 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 the very same mistake, Margarita told herself on those winter days, as she sat by the furnace and gazed into the fire. Why did I leave him alone that night? Yes, just like the miserable Matthew Levi. I returned all too late. Margarita Nikolaevna suffered all winter, and then came spring. On the day of bizarre mayhem caused by the appearance of the black magician in Moscow, on the Friday when Berlioz's uncle was banished back to Kiev, when the bookkeeper was arrested, and when numerous other silly and inexplicable things occurred, Margarita awoke around noon in her bedroom, with bay windows in the mansion's tower. After waking up, Margarita did not start to cry, as was often the case, for she had woken with the premonition that something would finally happen that day. In an excited state, Margarita finished dressing and began to convince herself that everything was indeed coming together very nicely. Her husband was away on business for 3 whole days. For 3 days she was her own woman, with nothing to stop her from thinking whatever she wanted, dreaming of whatever she liked. After having tea, she went into a dark, windowless room, full of suitcases and assorted old junk stored in 2 large cabinets. Squatting down, she opened the bottom drawer of one and extracted her only valuable possession in life from underneath a heap of silk scraps. A brown leather album appeared in Margarita's hands, containing the master's photograph, a bank book for the account holding 10,000 rubles in his name, the dry petals of a rose pressed between pieces of rice paper, and part of a single notebook of typed manuscript, its bottom edge singed by flames. Returning to her bedroom with this treasure, Margarita Nikolaevna positioned the photograph on her triple mirror and sat there for about an hour with the burned notebook on her lap, turning its pages and rereading the text that, after the fire, had neither beginning nor end. Darkness descending from the Mediterranean Sea engulfed the city so hated by the procurator. Gone was Yerushalayim, the great city, gone as though it had never existed. Margarita wanted to read on, but there was nothing further but the uneven, charred fringe. Wiping away her tears, Margarita Nikolaevna carefully collected her possessions, and several minutes later they again lay buried under the silk scraps, and the lock in the dark room clanged shut. Margarita Nikolaevna put on her coat in the hall, intending to go for a walk. Her housekeeper, the beautiful Natasha, began to chat with her mistress about God knows what so as to amuse herself. Yesterday, for instance, a magician awed the audience in a theatre with his tricks, then handed out 2 bottles of imported perfume and some hosiery to everyone, free. And then, after the séance ended and the public went outside, bam, everyone ended up naked. Margarita Nikolaevna collapsed onto the chair by the mirror and burst out laughing. Natasha, you ought to be ashamed, Margarita Nikolaevna said, spreading that nonsense. Natasha's face flushed red, and she insisted with great passion that she was telling the truth, and that she had personally seen a lady come into a grocery on the Arbat wearing shoes which disappeared from her feet as she was paying at the register, leaving her in stockings. And she just went off like that. Just like that, Natasha exclaimed. Why, last night, Margarita Nikolaevna, the police must have arrested 100 people. The ladies from that séance ran around Tverskaya in nothing but their underwear. These are Daria's stories, of course, said Margarita Nikolaevna. I've long been noticing what a horrible liar she is. Kissing each other, the mistress and the maid parted. Leaning back in the trolley's soft, comfortable seat, Margarita Nikolaevna rode down the Arbat, sometimes thinking her own thoughts, sometimes listening to the 2 men whispering in the seat in front of her about how some deceased man had his head stolen from his coffin that morning. Will we have enough time to pick up flowers? The little man fretted. The cremation is at 2, you say. Finally, Margarita Nikolaevna had had enough of this mysterious gossip about the stolen head and was glad to discover that her stop had been reached. Several minutes later, Margarita Nikolaevna was sitting on one of the benches beneath the Kremlin wall, in a spot that afforded her a view of the Manège. Margarita said silently to him who possessed her, "Why do I sit alone under this wall, like an owl? Why am I excluded from life?" But then, the same wave of anticipation and excitement that she had felt in the morning pushed her in the chest. Yes, something will happen. The wave pushed her again, and she realized that it was a wave of sound. Growing more distinct, the beat of approaching drums penetrated the city hum, accompanied by the slightly off-key sounds of brass instruments. A mounted policeman appeared first, followed by 3 other policemen on foot. Then came a slow-moving truck bearing the musicians. Further, a brand-new open hearse with a wreath-covered coffin upon it and 4 people standing at the corners of its platform, 3 men and a woman. Even at a great distance, Margarita could see that the faces of the people accompanying the deceased bore odd expressions of confusion. A crowd of mourners, some 300 strong, walked slowly behind the hearse with equally confused looks. What a strange funeral, she thought. Oh, I would truly sell my soul to the devil to find out if he is alive or not. It would be interesting to know, though, who it is they are burying with such odd faces.
Berlioz, Mikhail Alexandrovich, came a slightly nasal voice from nearby. The chairman of Masolit.
Surprised, Margarita Nikolaevna turned and saw a gentleman who had apparently managed to slip quietly onto the bench while Margarita had been distracted by the procession. Evidently she had absent-mindedly asked her last question out loud. Meanwhile, the procession slowed down, probably delayed by a traffic light.
Yes, the unknown man continued. Funny mood they're in, ferrying a dead man, and all they can think about is where his head went.
What head? Margarita asked, peering at her unexpected neighbour. He turned out to be a short man with flaming red hair and a fang.
Well, you see, this morning someone stole the head of the deceased right out of the coffin in the Griboyedov Hall.
How can that be? Margarita asked reflexively, even as she recalled the whispers on the trolley.
Hell knows how, the redhead replied insolently.
Most importantly, no one can figure out what anyone could want with this head.
Hold on, she exclaimed suddenly. Which Berlioz? Is this what the paper's today?
But of course.
So then these must be writers following the coffin? Margarita asked.
Well, naturally.
And would you recognise them by their faces?
Every single one, the redhead replied.
Tell me, said Margarita, is there a critic by the name of Latunsky among them?
How can there not be? The redhead replied. There he is, in the fourth row on the edge. Ash-coloured hair.
Margarita had no further questions and peered at Latunsky.
I see you really hate this Latunsky, Margarita Nikolaevna.
You know me? Margarita asked, surprised.
Instead of answering, the red-headed man removed his bowler and held it to the side.
Well, I don't know you, she said dryly.
How could you? Anyhow, I've been sent to discuss a certain matter with you.
The red-headed man glanced round and said mysteriously,
I was sent to give you an invitation for tonight. From a very wealthy foreigner.
Margarita became incensed.
Now here's something new. A street pimp, she said, rising to leave, and immediately heard the voice of the red-headed man behind her.
Darkness descending from the Mediterranean Sea engulfed the city so hated by the procurator. Gone was Yerushalayim, the great city, gone as though it had never existed. And you can get lost as well with your charred notebook and your dried-up rose. Keep sitting here alone on the bench, begging him to leave your memory.
Turning white, Margarita returned to the bench. I don't understand. It's possible to find out about the notebook, to infiltrate, to spy. Has Natasha been bought? Is that it? But how could you know my thoughts?
As she sat down, she could not help asking again,
Who are you?
My name is Azazello, not that it will tell you anything.
Will you tell me how you found out about the manuscript in my thoughts?
I will not.
But do you know anything about him? Margarita whispered imploringly.
Well, let's say I do.
I beg you, just tell me if he's alive. Don't torture me.
Well, all right, he's alive.
Oh, God!
Please, no fussing or screaming. The foreigner I'm inviting you to visit is completely harmless, and not a soul will know of your visit. That much I can vouch for.
What does he want with me?
Margarita asked insinuatingly.
You will find out later.
I see. I am to give myself to him.
Azazello smirked.
Any woman in the world would dream of it, I assure you. But I must disappoint you. It will not happen.
Why should I be interested in seeing him?
Azazello leaned towards her.
Well, there's a lot in it for you. You'll seize the opportunity.
What? If I understand you correctly, you are hinting that I could find out what happened to him.
Azazello nodded silently.
So are you coming or not?
I am. Margarita Nikolaevna replied simply.
In that case, please be so kind as to accept this.
Extracting a small, round, gold box from his pocket, he handed it to Margarita with the words,
Hide it already, people are looking. You can use it, Margarita Nikolaevna. You've aged quite a bit in the past few months from all your grief. Tonight, at exactly 9:30, kindly strip naked and rub this ointment all over your face and your body. Afterwards, do what you want, but stay by the telephone. At 10, I will call you and tell you all you need to know. You needn't worry about a thing. You'll be delivered where you need to go, without any hassle. Understood?
There! Azazello shrieked suddenly, popping his eyes out of the garden fence and began pointing at something with his finger. Margarita turned to look where Azazello was pointing, but saw nothing of interest. Then she turned back to Azazello, wishing to receive an explanation for this odd bah,
but there was no one around to give it. Margarita Nikolaevna's mysterious visitor had vanished.